Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
blessing us right now. How many know that the battle is not yours but belongs to the Lord? Stop fighting and give it to the Lord. Don't worry. Put it in God's hands and watch God work it out, because he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. Let's get started. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, Radio Land. Thank you for listening once again. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey. Thank God for your co-host, Terry Rogers. She was supposed to host today, but there was a mix-up, and certainly she will be back with you on next Saturday. Because we endeavor to do the work and the will of the Lord. So I am the president and the CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson today, so we're just going to get into it. I want to say happy Juneteenth to everybody out there. It was put into legislation on last week. This is a national holiday. We thank God for it. Today, the African Americans, as African Americans, we celebrate freedom from slavery, and certainly the slaves over in Galveston, Texas, were given the notice that they had been freed by African American soldiers, and we certainly thank God for his blessings. So we remember our ancestors, But we also know that the fight for freedom is not over, and we still continue to lift up the banner and speak truth to power. So Amazing Grace Ministries, our announcements. Well, I'm shutting down Old Testament Survey. And if you want to register, we've coming to a close. We've had a beautiful class. Thank the Lord. God has blessed us. And certainly if you want to get in on this blessing, if you want to get in and knowing more about God, if you want to get in to study thyself, approve unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, email me at amazing, A-M-A-Z-E-N. graceministries@gmail.com, or you can contact me by phone, 309-750-7584. Praise the Lord. And I would ask that you will consider giving a donation to this ministry that we may provide, lift up the Lord and do ministry and do the will of the Lord. And certainly that does take finances. And to all of you that have already blessed this ministry, I want to say thank you. Your support is needed and we appreciate it. And you can send those donations and write the check out to Amazing Grace Ministries or AGMI. You can send those to P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Thank you so very much. And certainly to everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you. You are blessed by this talk. If you're blessed by this talk, if anything that has been said that has blessed your soul, come on now. Give me a call. Give me a text at 309-750-7584. And certainly, that is my text number. I've given you already my email address, but I will give it to you again. Amazing, that's A-M-A-Z-E-N, graceministries@gmail.com. And certainly, if you want to click on this link, that link number is http://tobtr.com/s/11960918. And you can see this lesson or you can hear this lesson in real time. So let's get going, y'all. Today we have a word that will captivate your mind and break the yokes of bondage. Listen carefully. Take notes and study too so that this word will be hidden in your hearts. Apply this word and don't be fearful to tell your brothers, your sisters, and your neighbors that Jesus saves. And certainly I want to give a shout out to the Bree family, the Fergusons, Maxine's Ferguson's family, and Archie Boston's family. We're praying for you. We're lifting you up right now in the name of Jesus. We pray your strength. We pray you that the Lord of strength, our God, will strengthen you during your time of sorrow. God is saying we are breaking out and rebuilding the destitute places. It's a new normal. We're not praying to God as we did before the coronavirus, but we are praising God with a new emphasis, with every breath that we have, because we realize and we understand that it is only in God that we have our movement and our being, that we live. So the topic or the lesson for this day is returning to community. We know that June 11, 2021, everything opened up. Everything is now fully up. We are going into and we're going back into community. I want to talk about our communities just for a little bit, and I'm going to let you go. We are coming from Matthew, the 9th chapter, starting at the 18th. Through the 26th verses. Let's read, shall we? While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped, saying, my daughter is now dead, but come and lay hands upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, And so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said unto herself, if I may but touch his garment, come on, let's touch Jesus this morning, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maiden arose, 26, and the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. Suddenly, we want to talk about some definitions, saints. Return. Return is to turn back, is to go or come again, the same place of condition. Return, the verb, is to come back or begin again over an interview, regular or irregularly, to appear again. So we're returning. We're returning to our new place. We're returning back into community after being shut down for a year and a half. Community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common, a group of people living together in one place, especially one practicing common ownership or a feeling of ownership with others. Because of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. So we are community. We have a church community. We have a community in which we live. Whatever city you are listening to this blog from, you are in that community. You're living on a block, which means you are in that community. You have like interests. Your like interests on the block may be because you live on that block. In the past, we have summertime, we have block club parties, meaning we shut the streets off and people parade and participate in fellowship with one another on that block. So living in community means that members of any group, small or large, live together in such a way that they share not this or that particular interest, but a basic condition of common life. We live in Chicago. We are in a community. Whether you live on the south side, west side, north side, east side, or the surrounding communities of and the surrounding communities of Chicago, you are in community. Let's look at the text. And certainly if we look at Matthew, the 21st chapter, going to the 43rd chapter, I'm not going to hit all of them, but we find this same story. And certainly I have it in the New Living Translation. It says, Jesus got into a boat again and went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Now, last week we were talking about faith. We were talking about obedience. We were talking about the fact that Jesus was in the ship sleeping. Hallelujah. And we were talking about Jesus. If Jesus is sleeping and your situation is going on, you ain't got to worry because he's still on top of it. Hallelujah. So now we come, he's on the other side and he's dealing with the leader. And Mark gives the name of this leader as Jairus. So Jairus interrupts the program, says, my daughter is sick. I need you to come. Jesus says, okay, I'm coming. Because Jesus understood that he was called to save those that were lost. So when we get all the way down, and again, I'm not going to read it for time's sake. The 24th verse says, Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowds around him. Now remember, crowds around him, then a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal and suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had not gotten better and gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she went behind him through the crowds and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she went forth in her. She could feel in her body that she had been healed. Now, Jesus recognized her, and he turns around, and he says, who touched me? So, in essence, he's letting the community know that she has been healed. Now, when we look at the girl, we got some figures here. We got the unnamed girl who was the daughter of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. When her father approached Jesus, he seeks for healing. While en route to the house, Jairus is informed that his daughter has died, and there is no information given regarding this medical condition from which she died. Hallelujah. But she will be the recipient of Jesus' life-giving power. Then we have Jesus. We have the servant. We have the Son of God who arrives on the scene, who is called Rabbi. And certainly Jairus certainly gets his attention, and he says, my daughter is sick. Come and heal her. You know, imagine that you're living in a community and your reputation precedes you. So the ruler in this case was Jairus, a leader in the community. He was well known. He was known about town. And this is my interpretation, because he was the leader in the local synagogue. And a synagogue was that church house, in essence, in that day, that place where they came to pray and to read the word. He approached Jesus about his daughter. Hallelujah. And Jesus responds. On the way to Jairus' house, then we have this woman who suffered for a long time. Can you imagine being in a condition for over 12 years? Now, she was unclean. By the Jewish law, she was ceremonially, she was unclean. So she couldn't go to church. She couldn't worship because she was literally unclean. But here she says, and I'm not going to get into my message too fast, but this woman had a chronic blood disorder. But it was her faith that healed her. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then she would be made whole. She had to press her way. Mm-hmm. So all three synoptic gospels records the events of this passage, with Matthew's accord being shorter than Mark's and Luke's. Matthew omits many of the smaller and the finer details provided by Luke and Mark, or Mark and Luke, such as the name of the synagogue leader, which is Jairus. There's no mention of Matthew of the large crowd that followed Jesus to the home of Jairus's. Now, in Mark, the entire scene begins at the shore and winds its way through a narrow street of Capernaum. But Mark and Luke records the girl was still alive, whereas Matthew, she has already died. With regard to the woman with the issue of blood, Matthew omits the question asked by Jesus, who touched me? Matthew makes no mention of the woman's long struggle in trying to find physicians who could help her. Matthew does include the musicians who had gathered in Jairus' home. These minstrel played music and intended to set the atmosphere for a family's free expression of their guilt. So there were musicians there that were singing and playing. So when we hear music, and certainly there's always music playing when we are there dealing with the loss of our loved ones, because it is intended to help with that grief. So the narrative account of Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 17, casts Jesus as a controversial leader, not exactly the type of man that was highly regarded as a community leader. And that was because Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus ate with Republicans. So if we look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, certainly he didn't hang out with them. But we have that this passage was set in Capernaum. And we know that God is a healer. And Jesus operates in the community. Jesus tells the woman with the issue of blood, when he sees her, he tells her, "Woman, thy faith hath made her whole." He shows the community that there has been a change in this woman. No longer is this woman ceremonially unclean, but she has been clean, that her faith has made her whole. And then he is followed by a large crowd. Jesus is also in a community of sinners, a community of people, of believers, of tax collectors that are looking for healing, that are looking for deliverance, that are looking for somebody that will save their souls. And so he goes to the ruler's house of Jairus. There he finds his daughter. And there you'll find a group of people in that community that are playing music to soothe the group, the grief of Jairus and his family. And yet they laugh at the fact that Jesus says she's just asleep. But Jesus had to remove them out the house. Sometimes you got to remove people out of your community that don't recognize and understand that God is moving, that God is performing a miracle in your life. God is moving and performing miracles. As we celebrate Juneteenth, as God is opening up the heritage, as God is opening up the pathways and recognizing the issues and recognizing the gifts that our community have brought to the table, here we see in the word that God has to remove individuals in order to work a miracle. He goes into Jairus' house. He takes the girl by the hand, and he lifts her up. That's how Jesus is. He is a lifter. He is a provider. He will lift us up, and he will show our community that he is a deliverer, that he is a healer. Now, there are three things that I want to say about our Jesus' healing property. We thank God for all of you that are listening to me today. Praise God for you. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is a healer. Miracle serves three purposes in the ministry of Jesus. One, they authenticate God's power and presence in Jesus' life and ministry. So God is showing up. God is showing up in the healing power. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So that wouldn't take place, or the healing wouldn't take place, if it wasn't the authority and the power of the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Secondly, it reinforced the teaching and the preaching ministry of Jesus as proof that the kingdom of God had come near. Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness are all reinforced through miracles. Jesus often told those who came seeking healing that their sins had been forgiven. So as we go out into the community, we need to represent God in a new way. We need to praise him greater. We need to magnify him more. Third, the miracles of Jesus prepared the way for the sending of the 12 on their first ministry journey. And we find that in Matthew 10. So in essence, as we get back to our community, we are to lift up the blood-stained banner and give God his glory. Here we see that Jesus performs miracles in three communities. Jesus enjoying the fellowship of the group of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was criticized for this association with sinners and tax collectors. Hallelujah. But he spent his time with those that needed him the most. The woman with the issue of blood, literally unclean. He showed the community that she had been healed from her physical discomfort, and the power of God was able to deliver. So now she can operate in her community freely. And on the behalf of Jairus and his daughter, oh, he sent a wave that restoration. He's able to restore. He's able to restore back to community. And certainly we see God restoring back to community. We see God moving in an effort to be a healer and a deliverer and save us from all unrighteousness, but to heal us from those wounds that we have suffered. Coronavirus has taken much from us, but God is healing. God is a deliverer. If we've survived coronavirus and we're able to go back out, we've been vaccinated, it's because God had desired it to be so. So I'm going to close with this. Here are four benefits of being in community. You are known. Friends know you, your fears, your hope, your struggles, your values, your weaknesses, and your strengths. Every one of us should be known and valued for who we are because we are each known by God and valuable to him. Psalms 139:13-16. For thus has possessed my reins, Thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works, and thou, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I had made a secret and cautiously walked in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is in continuous fashion, when as yet there are none of them. You can help your friends grow more comfortable and share more of themselves with each other. Your willingness to share your heart, your struggles, your victories, and your honest thoughts will encourage them to follow the example. The more transparent you are, the more potential that friendship must grow. 2, trust and be trusted. Trust is like oxygen to the life of your relationship. An atmosphere lacking trust will choke your momentum and can cause friendships to fizzle out. On the other hand, an atmosphere thick with trust helps the amazing experiences and conversations that help you and your friends take the next step in your walk with Jesus. Because Jesus is trustworthy to us, we strive to be trustworthy to others. Psalms 31:14-15. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies, from them that persecute me. We can instill confidence in our friends by helping them focus their trust in God. Proverbs 3:5, Psalms 56:3-4. Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thy own understanding. Psalms, what time am afraid I will trust thee? What time am I afraid I will trust thee? In God, I will praise his name. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Trust paves the way for the next step together, loving sincerely. We can learn to love by looking at Jesus. He gave up something, his life, so we can be given something, eternal life. He shows us that love is looking out for the well-being of another person, no matter the cost. And that's what we can do for the friends close to us. Philippians, second chapter, verses 3 through 8. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. God sent Jesus to pay for our sins, not because of a great love for God, but because of his great love for us. And because of God's love for us, we have the ability to love others. You can invest in others. The best friendships don't exist in a vacuum. Relationships grow stronger as two or more walk together through more experiences. The next step, conversation, is not a one-time event. Jesus helped his friends take the next step. They were fishermen when he found them, but through the time and the relationship with Jesus, they were changed forever. Jesus saw the potential of the leadership, the leaders of the church today. And certainly Jesus came, and as he touched our lives, we are touching our community. We are touching our community with what we say, how we say it, as we go back into our communities. Certainly, we have a new normal. We are finding our friends again. We are finding our loved ones again. We're visiting. We are celebrating. And as we see that this day and time, Juneteenth, is now a national holiday where people of color can celebrate, but we celebrate our ancestors, and we are a community. We are a community that knows how to love one another, and we know how to love God. And certainly enemy wishes to stop that. He wishes to divide us. He wishes to keep us not seen as people of value in commercials and television and the news. But we are people of value. All people are loved by God. It's not just one over the other, but we are all equal in the sight of God. And certainly we go back to our community and we fellowship with God. We lift up God. We deliver that message that God is still in the saving business. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, I would not have made it this year, over this past year, going into almost end of 2021. But God has brought us out. God has kept us. God has made a way for us to render and to go back into our communities. Now, as we go back in our communities, we need to have a deeper purpose. We need to show this world that God is a deliverer, God is saving. And my question to you, what miracles are you performing in your community? Now, God showed us the pathway, but then in Matthew 10, he sent his disciples out to give the message of deliverance. Christ is the answer. Christ is a deliverer. Now, I implore you. Now, I give you the commission to go out into your communities, into back into society with a new purpose, with a new zeal to say Jesus is the answer. Jesus will fix it. He will bring you out. He brought us out of coronavirus. Yes, we have suffered some casualties. That's always in a test. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, God, Christ Jesus, is still blessing, and he's still delivering. I still have peace of mind when I should have lost my mind. I've got healing in my body when I know that I was sick. And some have been delivered from coronavirus when others have died. So let's tell the world, let's go back in our communities and lift up the banner that Jesus saves. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this blog. We thank you, God, for the words that have been said. We pray for each and every one on this blog on this morning. We pray, God, their deliverance. We pray, God, that you'll lift them up. We pray, God, that you'll heal and deliver and set free. And God, we thank you, God, that they have tuned in to listen to this podcast or this blog, God. We thank you, God, for the diligence. We thank you, God, for Evangelist Terry Rogers, God. We thank you for her input and her support. We thank you, God, for each and every member that supports this ministry. We thank you, God, for your word, God, and we pray, God, that your word will go out and it may not return void, God, in the name of Jesus. Touch somebody, God. Touch somebody that would hear this blog, God. And, God, catch a hold of strength. Catch a hold of insight and move forward in ministry like never before. As we move forward, we're driving and we are going forth. We thank you, God. This is our prayer. Bless each and every one that is sick, God, each and every one that's shed in. Heal, deliver, and set free. You know their needs, and we speak healing. This is our prayer. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, this is Dr. Maria Carey. I am your host. Evangelist Terry Rogers is your co-host. We thank God for each and every one that have listened on today. Continue to be safe. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to do the social distancing. Continue to wash your hands. If you have not been fully vaccinated, I encourage you to be or to get fully vaccinated. You know, people are saying, well, especially in the African American community, I know there have been there have been medical trials that have not been always favorable to African Americans. But now we are in a new day and time. So please remember to get back out in the community and get the vaccination. Don't be scared. Let the Lord guide and lead you, because he's in control. God bless. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Or we will hear you next week. Yeah, I know what I mean. Be blessed. Bye-bye.